Everyone, if you would please turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And I'll begin reading in verse 23 to 32. 23 to 32. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third, unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as of the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message that you put on my heart. I pray, Lord, that I communicate it accurately and that I will edify this assembly this day with the truths from this message. Help me as I discern it, as I make application, and I look for your spirit to guide and direct me, for it's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Amen. So I came unto this sermon by accident. In my current trial, looking to find as much information as I can concerning my wife and I, and future things, where she is, where I am. And came upon this because, of course, it dealt with marriage and going to heaven and would she be and things like this. So that's kind of the genesis of it. But in any case, as I went into the verse and started to exegete it, of course, as we need to do to find context, a whole different message came out of it. So let's go ahead and take that journey together. So the Sadducees thought they could trick the Lord by showing the hypocrisy and foolishness of the literal physical resurrection. See, to the Sadducees, it was not true. So this would be easy to show the foolishness of this resurrection. And so different from the Pharisees, the Sadducees held to just no resurrection. The Sadducees were in charge of the Sanhedrin High Council, and they were teachers of law in many of the major institutions there in Jerusalem. If you turn over to Acts 23, just to give us a little bit more context. Acts 23 and verse 8, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. So the Sadducees held to the Pentateuch. They taught the five books of Moses. And because of their rejection of many of the great truths throughout the rest of the New Old Testament, but including how they handled the books of Moses, they had no discernment concerning any angels or spirit or resurrection or anything. Light rejected, light decreased. And certainly that was the case here with the Sadducees. Their discernment was not there. And the Lord was not using them at all. And so they were Stoics in their faith and believing that there was no punishment nor reward after this life. They believed that man was to be rewarded or punished here for the good and evil that he does. And so in Matthew 22, if you go back there, Matthew 22, looking at verse 24, they said, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. And so they thought they were pretty slick because they were teachers of the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, they went right to it. And they grabbed a verse from there, thinking that they could trick the Lord into something and saying something wrong. And so take a look at Deuteronomy 25. That's the area that they headed to. Deuteronomy 25, taking a look here in verse 5. Deuteronomy 22:5. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of an husband's brother unto her. And so we see here that what's happening is that there is God gave Moses the command to replicate the seed line, to stay within the nation of Israel. And so everything that was being done here was for genealogy, and that was necessary at that time in the Old Testament. And so what the Sadducees are trying to do is take this verse out of its context, thrust it into the New Testament, and they even added to the scripture by bringing up six other brothers and really confusing the issue and thinking that they could trick the Lord and that he would stumble at this. And so, in order to keep the Israelites, the tribes distinct in their genealogy, they basically had to marry within the family to keep that genealogy and to keep those tribes in proper order. And so that was the purpose of Deuteronomy 25:5. And for them, they knew that, but they wanted to trick the Lord, and so they tried to trap him. If you take a look at Matthew 22 again in verse 25, it says, "Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And the last of all the women died, and last of all the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her." And so again, the Sadducees add to the scripture, and they basically think that they've really got the Lord Jesus Christ in a pickle. And then in verse 29, it says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." So the Sadducees rejected so much scripture and so much light that they really made fools of themselves before the crowd at this time, especially when the Lord gives the answer. Now here are some scriptures that they rejected even before. Now we know that the Jews have rejected basically the whole of the minor and major prophets. But let's take a look at just a few scriptures that the Sadducees knew they had rejected. And if they had not rejected, they certainly would have had a better light. So Isaiah 26, if you take a look there. This is just all in context of the resurrection. Isaiah 26 and verse 19 says, "Thy dead men shall live together, with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." And so here's your first verse talking about the resurrection of the dead. We come from the dust, we return to the dust, and God in his power will resurrect us from the dust. And so go ahead and turn over to Daniel, and chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Another excellent verse from the Old Testament concerning the resurrection. Chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." And so the Lord says to them, not knowing the power of God, that they could not comprehend that God can gather the dust of all the deceased saints and raise them unto the resurrection of life. And so what do we see here just initially, before I jump into verse 22:30. What we see here is that the attack is on the physical. You see, they rejected physical. They felt that everything was spiritual. But we even saw in their verse, in the other verses, in the verse in Acts, is that they rejected the spiritual. And so they were very confused. They had no discernment. They were lost in their thinking of what happens after we die. But the Lord, through this verse, is showing us that we are very physical. We are flesh and blood. The resurrection is of ultimate importance to the Lord. We came from the dust, we go back to the dust, and we will be resurrected unto life, all physical. And that is something the Sadducees had completely rejected. But not them, just them also. So verse 30 says, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." And so in heaven we have eternal life. We don't die and go to hell. Okay? There is no need to produce a lineage or a genealogy anymore. We are as the angels, eternal unto life with God. We are the children of the resurrection. And so basically when he says here, but are as the angels of God in heaven, there's no need for us to procreate anymore. We're saved. We go to heaven. We are God's people. And we are now eternal. We will live forever. And so they made, of course, their big error there in not understanding this great truth as it relates to the physical. As it relates to the first five books of the Pentateuch, where Moses relating to the physical, carry through the lineage, the seed line, the physical. Everything about God and his creation is spirit and physical. We're very physical. And I really think, even I, going through the different trials, but especially this one, you tend to look at things spiritually sometimes and forget the physical. But I find it very relieving to know that what we're experiencing here today, it's not a lot different from what we're going to experience later. We are who we are. We don't change that. So in any case, we go over to Matthew 22 and verse 31. It says, "But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying," verse 32, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And so God says here that he is still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of the living. And see, they didn't make that connection. And they should have, because that came right out of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Go ahead and look at Exodus 3 where it comes out of, where Moses spoke it. And so in Exodus 3, real quick, verse 6, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." And so God is speaking in the present tense. He is the God still of Abraham. Amen. Abraham lives. He's his God. Something must have happened to Abraham. But to the Sadducees, because they lacked discernment, they rejected the light that was given to the nation of Israel. Because they rejected it, they were fools. And they did not understand this great truth. They allegorized these verses. They added words to them. And just as the Jewish nation does now, they're completely lost. Isaiah 53 throws them for a curve every time. And that's what we're dealing with here, and that's what Jesus was dealing with when these Sadducees came to to speak to him. Turn back over to Matthew. So God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So the Sadducees, along with everyone else, has gotten it wrong. Flesh is not evil. Never was and never will be. To the unsaved, the flesh is something we shed, and the spiritual is our eternal future. Angels sitting on fluffy clouds playing flutes. This is what they envision. This is what you kind of envision. And believe me, when you go through great trials where you've lost loved ones, you seek, you wonder, you ask questions. And then when you go to the Word of God, you see the truth. It brings it out clearly. It's not about angels on fluffy clouds. It's not about spirituality that's nirvana, which is what we think of, right? When we think of heaven. No, it's not about that. You see, the Gnostics, the Epicureans, the Stoics, all of them are headed to the resurrection of death. We are very physical. God created the heavens and the earth. We are standing on what he created. And it was good. And now it's bad. But take a look around you, like I was talking to my brother. Take a look around you. Because what you see and what you're walking on, you're going to be walking on in heaven. It's just full of sin right now. But this is our future. The way we're talking to each other right now, we're physical. We have genealogy. You are my son. That doesn't change. We keep that. We don't lose that. That's part of the blessings. That's part of the riches that are banked in heaven for me. Be fruitful and multiply. My wife and I did that. We have 5 kids. Blessings in heaven. If they know, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior. And so, as I'm reading through this account, I'm looking at this physical and how important it is to God. It's all about the garden and going back to it. Right? Tremendous truth. Tremendous truth. There is going to be a resurrection unto life and unto death. The Bible speaks of it everywhere, but a very clear verse is in John 5. Just take a quick look at that. John 5. The Sadducees had no ability to understand this. John 5, verse 28 says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And so we know the resurrection of damnation for those who did evil is the great white throne judgment at the end of Revelation. We know that. And the ones who do good, in other words, trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, we have the resurrection of life, which will occur at any moment, at any time, right now, in the rapture. Okay. Now, how is it then that we will experience the resurrection unto life? Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. Now, this verse, we've been here, Christians go here all the time, but it means so much. At least it does to me right now. My pastor sent it to me just the other day. He sent me a text, this very passage. 1 Thessalonians, looking at chapter 4, in verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Who's that? That's Kirsten. That's her. Amen. Isn't it? It says, "Sorrow not, because we're sorrowing in our family, even as others which have no hope." You see, kids, my kids, sorrow not for those who were there and have no hope. Sorrow is sorrow. We sorrow, we mourn, but it's replaced by joy because of what this scripture says. Let's keep reading. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's the key. If you believe in His resurrection, the power of God to raise His Son, if you believe in that, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. That's what happened to my wife when she died and took the last breath before us, all who were standing there. Right, Nathaniel? She was in the presence of the Lord. How? Physically. That's the part that really escapes us. It so easily does. And the whole world's wrapped up in this Gnostic thinking of spirituality. When that's what's missing. No. We never are without a body. Ever. We're always physical. We're always standing on a physical ground. Oops, I want to come out from here. Do you know what I'm saying? To me, that hit home. And then Marquise gave me this wonderful book that I'm reading, and he gave it to somebody at the Christmas. He's giving it to everybody? Yeah, I know it's the wrong version. I got that. But it is such an encouragement to read. It's good stuff. You know, you want to know what we're going to be doing? Do you want to know what your relationship is going to be with your wife? We can know. It's going to be just like this. You're going to love them. You're going to, you know. But then it gets into the marriage of the Lamb, and things change a little bit. We could go down a lot of paths here. So, in any case, it just really started to hit me as to how to approach God, how to be thankful to Him, and to glorify Him, how to not elevate my wife, wanting to go to heaven to see her. But what about God? And so I've taken that from looking forward with joy that I get to go and see her because of Him. Okay? And that's what happens. And that's how you start looking at this. And then you want to know what it's like, because then you start worrying like I was about marriage. And what's it like? And so I went back and found marriage verses, and then I stumble on Matthew 22. And then what do I find out? I find out from Matthew 22 the resurrection, the physicality of it, and that my wife is my wife. We may have a different relationship because we will have the perfect relationship with the perfect, perfect bridegroom. So things may change that way. But I will always love her. She will always be the mother of my children. Think about this. What have I lost? Nothing. She has gained. These verses just suddenly come alive. And so the Sadducees had it all wrong. What will we see the resurrection unto life? Will we see it? Take a look at Isaiah 65. Ryan, no doubt, all over this one. Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, look at verse 16. This is a glimpse. This is beautiful. Verse 16. I am living these verses right now. I really am. I really am. I'm living these. These mean so much to me. That he who blesseth himself in the earth shall be blessed himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from his eyes. That is the new Jerusalem coming down in the new earth, the new creation. That's when that happens. I don't quite understand forgetting the troubles and things to that effect, but that does not happen at the rapture. That happens with the new earth and the new creation. If you go into Revelation, "For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." Okay? So that's what's going to happen at that moment. See, we're all going to be there at that judgment seat of Christ. The great white throne. We're all going to be there as it's coming, and then he's going to make the new heavens and the new earth. They're going to be thrust into the lake of fire. That's when this verse comes into effect. Right now, though, right now, Kirsten is in heaven, and she remembers everything. Everything. She's still Kirsten. Same genome. Okay? Nothing's changed, except for she's gained. And as Jeff had said, it kind of trickled to me. You didn't say it to me, but you said it to one of the kids. She's now able to perfectly pray for us. Amen. That's what's going on. That gives me so much joy. Amen. You just don't understand how that helps your morning. Yeah. It really does. So behold, I create a new heaven. Okay, in 18, "But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing in her people." Now we get into the millennium. "And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in the people, and the voice of the weeping shall be no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed." And so what's happening here? So he tells us about the end of the tribulation in Matthew 6 and 7, talking about 5, 6, and 7, talking about the saints that are make it through the tribulation and they're walking into the kingdom of heaven. They're going to produce babies. And the babies have 100 years to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. So that's what's going on here. You and I are going to be a part of that. It's very physical. They're walking around on earth. They're procreating in marriage. Think about that. And my wife and I will be together who have already procreated and had children, and we're watching them procreate and have children. Think about that as a relationship. See, I'm thinking of all these things. And so I just can't wait to see how my wife and I interact, what we talk about, and what's going to happen at that moment in time. So, the chicken is here, and I have a few more areas I want to go, but as usual, I always go long. Will we see the resurrection unto life? I want to just bring this out real quickly, if you would bear with me. Matthew 7:24, if you would turn there. So Matthew 7:24, getting close. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," that's all of us, "and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." So who is going to see all of these wonderful physical, spiritual blessings that is heaven? Who's going to be there? It's all of them who have built their house on a rock. That's it. And as you know, that was Kirsten and I's marching orders 2 years ago when we got into this and the Lord put us through this great trial. We knew we had trusted in Jesus Christ. We were holding on to that verse, and we still are. And that verse actually will totally come to its fruition when all of us, this family, is standing with the rock in heaven, and we'll look back at that great promise. Psalm 34, take a look at that. This is very encouraging. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, I'm going to look at verse 18. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." So who's going to see the resurrection unto life? Those who have a broken heart and have a contrite spirit. That's who sees it. Make sure you're that. Take a look at 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. You don't want to miss this. You want to be a part of this. 2 Peter 3 and verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherewith dwelleth righteousness. Praise God. John 4:6 says, now Jacob's well was there. Am I in 4:6? Yes, I am. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied, 14:6. Sorry. 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If that's you, and you've trusted Jesus Christ in his resurrection power, that's what it is. I've oftentimes said to my son, son, do you believe without a doubt in your mind that Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago hung on a cross, knew who you were because he was God, and died for your sins? Do you believe that? And he said to me, yeah, I do. I said, I do too. I can't stop myself from believing it. Then you are going to experience the resurrection unto life. And at that resurrection unto life, your relationships, Iko and Naomi, are going to flourish. You're physically going to walk around. You're going to be doing things. You're going to be, when the new earth comes, back in the garden. Because you see, God, one person said, in a book I'm reading, and it's excellent, as someone once said, God is the God of reconciliation, redemption, restoration, recovery, return, renewal, regeneration, resurrection unto life. God is all about the R's. That's what his whole purpose is right now. And we're a part of that. He's restoring us. We're in the process. And praise God. Praise God that I have not lost my You see, my wife has a divorce, and so one of the questions, of course, that comes to my mind is when I read that seven wives verse. That's why I went there. Who's she going to be? Right? And I have probably, I always say this, I have a question for God when I get there. I'm going to say, how is it possible that in the midst of my wife and I sin, you blessed us? And the only answer is grace. It is absolutely amazing, God, his mercy and grace. How wonderful is our God. But our God created us physical. We are not angels floating around on clouds. We are very physical, and you will always be physical. You will always touch, feel, smell the Savior, because he is physical. I was going to go to the Timothy verse, but... Great is the mystery of godliness. This resurrection of the body is what's thrown everything for a curve. Either you're for it or you're against it. It's all about the physical resurrection. It's all about that. And someday you guys are going to be back in those bodies, but they'll be perfect. When Kirsten took that last breath that day, she went from that body into that other temporary body. I try to imagine. She's woken up. She was like, you know how, and now sleep means something different, because when you wake up from sleep, you're like, okay, look around, you're back, right? That must have been what it was like for her. She woke up with the Lord physically. Physically, not spiritual nirvana. Oh, she felt good. But physically, he said, Kirsten. Dwell on that for a while. Thankfully for this book you've given me. He goes into areas and makes our minds think in a way that we never really do about heaven and where we're going to be and what we're going to do. But when you really think about it and how God's plan is all about the resurrection and going back to the garden, which was good, it really means something to us. That's where we're going to be. Don't get too caught up here. Don't get too caught up in the world, okay, guys? Okay, folks. Okay. Don't get too caught up. We are the children unto the resurrection. Someday you and I will be in heaven together forever. And we will go talk to Kirsten, and we'll just rejoice in the memories that we'll hang on to. All right? We'll go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great clarity that you speak with concerning the resurrection and concerning heaven, and it's just all over the Bible, Father. I pray that churches might preach more about heaven and go into its subject. But Lord God, it's just meant so much to me. It's been an encouragement to me, and I pray that I've encouraged those in the assembly this day. Even though they have not gone through this particular trial that we're going through, may it impact them in a way that they'll start to be encouraged, start to really look forward to, Father, the return of your Son, wanting it more so than this world, wanting your will to be done and his kingdom to be set up. For it's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen.